Each generation is currently navigating a unique part of the retirement planning experience. With many baby boomers preparing for the transition into retirement, the early half of Gen Z taking their initial steps into the career field, and other life moments. So on today's episode, we're going to share some insights into the unique concerns that echo across the different age groups. Right here on the podcast, Your Retirement Elevated with Scott Dugan.
Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for Your Retirement Elevated.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast. Thanks for hanging out. A little different voice may be coming at you this week. I am your co-host this week, Mark Killian, joining Scott on the podcast, filling in for Walter. But if you happen to check out the podcast that the company puts out, you might hear my voice with Sean. I usually do Sean Lee's podcast. So good to kind of sit down and talk with Scott today. It'd be fun to get some different perspective and hear some different thoughts from the team at Elevated Retirement Group. So, Scott, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking before the show started. It's crazy. I've known Walter for years. You know, we did radio show together and podcast for years. And this is the first time you and I have actually sat down to do a podcast. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. And he and I have been business partners for 10 years. And it's kind of funny this first time we're sitting down chatting as well. So good stuff. But yeah, I'm always doing Sean's show and he's always doing yours. I think we kind of, I don't know how we kind of made that determination, but I went one way, he went the other, and it's kind of worked really well. So,
well, I think you drew the short straw, evidently.
I'll have to tell him that. We have to get him. We'll have to do like a big conversation with all four of us one of these times and see how that goes. That could be interesting.
That would be fantastic.
Well, you know, let's talk about today's topic. All right. So we're going to jump in and dive into this a little bit here and chat about it. You know, we're thinking about everything in the world right now is kind of crazy, right? And there's so many different things happening with the different age groups and brackets and things and all aspects of life. But certainly when it comes to what you guys do, when it comes to planning for retirement, different interesting questions to think about depending on what age you are. Myself, I'm a Gen Xer, right? So some of the questions that I have are certainly different than my mom, who's a boomer, right? So let's go through and talk about some of those. We'll start with the boomers, which I think, Scott, by the way, they changed these brackets for these age groups based on what they want it to be. Because, and I'll point this out in a minute on the Gen X, but it seems like they're always shifting this. But either way, you probably know if you're a boomer or not, but right now they got it listed as 1946 to 1964 are at or near retirement age or into it. The golden years are right there or certainly right around the corner. So they have a lot of questions, maybe more so than anybody else, but let's tackle a couple of them. How do I manage risks in market volatility, especially is the biggest one, when it comes to getting closer to retirement? Because when the market's choppy, it makes people nervous.
It definitely does. And we had a kind of a melt up in the markets over the, you know, started in November last year and here right. It is April. And, you know, we've given a little back over the last few weeks. And I think as we're in an election year and probably what may be kind of a crazy election year just because of what the media is fanning the flame. They love it. I mean, this is like the best thing for them. It's kind of the right now it looks like a rematch, you know, so they love getting people all riled up. But, you know, as people are getting ready to retire or in retirement, you know, it's all about a paycheck.
Sure.
It's all about, can you distribute money from your savings, add that to your Social Security and or your pension, and live the lifestyle that you want to live? And if we are dependent solely on, you know, the market, sometimes that can get choppy. And you've heard us talk about it before. You know, we solve that retirement income gap one of three ways. We build a market strategy to do that. We build a protected strategy, or we build a hybrid, which is part market and part protected. And so really what it comes down to, no matter what avenue that you go down, you know, the market is going to be volatile. We're going to have ups and downs, and we're living, you know, we live long retirements. You're going to experience a market downturn. And so smart planning starts ahead of that. You don't want to react because of market volatility. You want to be prepared for market volatility. So that means we always need a smart place to take money from. And that could be making sure that we've got, you know, 6 to 9 months in our money market or checking account. to weather any storms, pay for any big expenditures. And right now, hey, cash is paying better. I know Fidelity's money market's a little over 5% as of this recording. So it's not a bad place to hold, you know, that those emergency funds, way better than it was, you know, 5 years ago. But the money past that, we need to have that more than likely in somewhere that's less volatile, more similar about capital preservation. And so we're always having, again, that smart place to take money from for that next 1 to 3 to 4 years where we aren't dependent on selling at a bad time, selling when stock prices are down. We want to avoid that at all costs. And again, that is just good planning. And you want to do that now rather than make knee-jerk reactions to the market volatility.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, there's always something going on. Yes, this is a pretty, you know, interesting and hot and contentious election year, but there's always something, right? There's always something that the market is going to react to. And the idea is that we want to be able to retire in whatever economy and whatever market. And there's always going to be one-offs. I understand that. But it's like, if you're panicking at every news instance that pops up, well, then you're really going to be chasing a lot of, you're going to be moving around a lot because there's always going to be something happening. So you want to make sure that you've got a good balanced portfolio and a good balanced strategy to kind of help you deal with that. So, and plus, who wants the stress, right? Who wants the stress of having to worry about every time the news has something interesting to say that, or not even interesting, but just something that winds up affecting the market, because that's like daily at this point or hourly sometimes.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, there's about 30 minutes worth of news every day. They stretch over 24 hours.
That's a great way of putting it.
I mean, and it's now it's all about eyeballs and clicks.
Yeah, for sure.
And so they've got to grab your attention. So that's why it's so crazy in today's world. But you're right. I've been in this for 23 years. Every year, every month, every week, there's always something that they want you to fixate on.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, take a deep breath. If you're 65, you've been through a lot in your life and you're going to go through more and you're still here.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. You know, cause retirement, like we're all looking forward to it. Like, I mean, you're getting close. You're probably getting very excited about it. At least we hope that you are, you know, and, but it's still life. Like there's still those things are going to happen. Curveballs are going to happen. So a good strategy and a good plan is going to help you along the way with that. So if market volatility is, you know, top of your list, if you're a boomer and that's one of the things that you're worried about, that's one of the things we often see, then make sure you're having a conversation with a qualified professional and talk about it. Another one that we see often, Scott, is the best approach for transitioning from that steady income to how to get the money, right? I think this is really like the kind of, it's the kind of one that sneaks up on people. Like we're so busy working on building the nest egg. When we get closer, we go, oh man, like my paycheck's about to stop. What do I do? How do I get this money back?
And I'll tell you, that's what causes a lot of anxiety for people is a lot of times they don't know how much do they need to save. Mm-hmm. They don't know how much they really need to take on a monthly basis. A lot of people don't know what it costs them to live their current lifestyle they want to live in retirement.
Very true.
So if you don't have those targets or that data, it's very difficult to plan. So that's why we're always looking at the real-time information, you know, what are you spending now? What are you going to spend in the future?
Right.
What are your goals? What do you hope to do? And let's match those things together. And you're right. You know, that paycheck, and I alluded to that, you know, in our first topic with, you know, the market, it's once we understand what type of gap, if there is one in your monthly budget, then we look at what are the strategies we can use to fill that gap, to produce that steady, predictable paycheck that keeps up with taxes and inflation. Because that's what people want to do. They want a paycheck that shows up, and they want it to keep purchasing power over time. And what we've just went through in the past year and a half, 2 years, inflation reared its ugly head. Stuff is more expensive. All right. And I was just ran over to the Sprouts market. I forgot to bring my lunch. I'm going to grab some chicken because I'm pretty healthy now, buy a salad. I went to pick up 2 pre-cooked chicken breasts at Sprouts and I picked it up. They wanted $19.80 a pound.
Oh my.
I had a protein shake. I did not buy the chicken today.
I was like, do the chickens come with like gold wings or something?
Man, it was crazy. But no, so that steady income, again, once you know what you need to produce, then it goes to, again, the three strategies are very, very simple. If we are more tolerant of market volatility, we take a market-based approach, meaning we're heavily invested in the market. We have a, you know, a war chest of cash. That just means that there are going to be times where we may need to tighten the belt when the markets are down, and our monthly paycheck needs to decrease for a while the markets are rebounding, and that'll happen. And so we install guardrails on either side. So if the market's down, we need to tighten our belt. But if the market's up, you know, the opposite of that, hey, we get a raise. And so we've got systems that monitor that and show us what we need to do with the current situation, the current economy, current markets. And so again, that's the market approach.
Gotcha.
On the opposite end of that is the protected approach. That's when someone wants that paycheck to show up like clockwork. And they want it like a personal pension, and they don't want any guesswork. They don't want to tighten their belt. They want it to show up no matter what happens. And so we've got to choose things that have principal guaranteed and some guaranteed outcome to them. And so that's number two. So number one, if we're, you know, market-based, that's the most amount of risk. If we want the least amount of risk, we go protected. And in the middle is what we call the hybrid. And the hybrid is simply, if we need $4,000 a month, for example, we may say, you know what, I'm okay getting $2,000 a month from a market-based approach. But the other $2,000, I want that from a protected source. I want that guaranteed. So it's that hybrid of the protected and the market. Put those together where we've got stability, predictability, and more upside. And a lot of our clients are in that middle ground, you know, that they want. But that really is the three ways to do it: market, protected, or hybrid. But it all starts with, what do you need that money to do for you? And then choose a strategy that fits your profile, that makes you sleep well at night.
Yeah, for sure. Right. So no matter what your train of thought is or what your concerns are, at the end of the day, you've got to have those conversations with a qualified professional to help you through this. Because let's be honest, this is probably your only retirement, right? Most of us don't pull a Brett Favre or a Tom Brady and come back multiple times. So you want to make sure that you're getting it right the first time. So that's just a couple of questions that boomers might have when it comes to, you know, getting close to retirement or being into retirement. And we're talking about retirement questions that every generation is asking or might be asking or maybe should be asking. So let's move to Gen X. A couple of questions for folks in this category, Scott. Again, they keep changing these parameters. This one's particularly saying 1965 to 1976. That's not even 20 years. I thought a generation was 20 years. It used to be 65 to, I thought, like 83, but again, they keep shifting this around. But I'm an Xer, so I'd be curious to kind of
think
about.
Me too.
Are you? Okay, good. Yeah. So you're in a cool club with me then. So let's talk about some things that we might be thinking about. How much do I actually need to save to be able to retire? Because it doesn't look like it did for my parents.
No, and if you think about, especially that the baby boomer was one of the last generations that kind of were in that pension society. Right. Put your 40 years in, you retire, get a gold watch, and you get a pension. You know, it could be the average of the last 3 years of your working time. And that's what you wrote off in the sunset with a little inflation adjustment. So as long as you put in your time, that paycheck was going to come in till your final days. That was my grandfather. You know, he passed away almost to 100, but he received pension checks from the age 62 to almost 100. So he had money and he could not live between two pension checks and Social Security. So he didn't have to save a ton of money, but Generation X, people like you and I, and a lot of my clients, a lot of people listening, it's all on us. We're hopefully going to have some Social Security benefit,
right?
More than likely we will, but all the rest of it, it's on us. So anywhere from 60 to 80% of your monthly paycheck and retirement is going to have to come from your savings. And that's your bank account, that is your savings account, that's your 401k, IRA, Roth, TSP, 457, you know, after-tax stocks, your brokerage account, rental property, that's where it's going to have to come from. And so, again, how big does that nest egg need to be? Well, it depends. It depends on what it's going to cost to live your lifestyle. And it all starts there. So if it's $5,000, $8,000, $10,000, $25,000, once you arrive at, hey, this is what I'm going to need on a monthly basis to live on an after-tax basis, meaning spendable, then we can start doing the math to say how much you're going to have to spend. And it's all a math problem at that point and making some assumption of return. But again, it comes back to what's the objective, what's the goal, and then we back in and figure out the answer of how much do you need to have saved when you retire to produce that predictable paycheck.
And I feel like that's such a fluid question and a fluid number anyway, Scott, considering how the world is changing in every situation too, right? Because what you need, we're both Xers, so doesn't mean we both need the exact same thing, right? What you need versus what I need is going to be completely different. So make sure that you're going through some of those pieces that Scott just lined out, and that's going to help you. Another question might be, well, what do I do if I've started late? And many of us are in that category, feel like we, even if we haven't, like we feel like we're behind. And of course, there's some things the government gives us, yo, yay, little bonuses when we turn 50 to help catch up. But, you know, what do you do in that respect if you do feel like or know that you're late getting to the table?
Well, I think you definitely mentioned one that, you know, think about the catch up provisions, which, yeah, it allows you to save some dollars into IRAs, you know, 401ks, things like that to catch up. And hey, let's look at it. If you've got kids, most people don't get to really start saving or catching up until their late 40s, early 50s. So that's why those catch-up provisions kick in at 50. And they've expanded those a little bit, and over time, they're going to increase. But it really comes down to managing cash flow, managing expenses, and really understanding, hey, the world is after your wallet. The world is after wallet share.
Right.
Every advertisement, every periodical, every magazine, commercial, they're selling you an idea to get you to part with some of your hard-earned money, because they're selling you on the fact that what they have is going to make your life better. And it really is getting a handle on the money going out of your bank account on a monthly basis. Where's it going? And is it going in the right place? Is it going to be benefiting you? And that's usually the first step, is getting a handle on that. And that's, you know, we pick on Dave Ramsey a lot, but he's done a great job of helping millions of people get out of debt and be smart about what they're spending. Now, I would challenge some of his investment advice, but from a standpoint of getting a handle on what you're spending and recapturing some of those dollars, I think is key. And because if you have a couple of things, if you started saving late, you can either decrease your expenses, which could help you increase your savings.
Right.
You could try to work more, get a different job to make more. You can work longer and extend that period of time, which will give you potentially a larger Social Security check if you could delay that a little bit. So there's a lot of levers that you can look at, but ultimately it's going to come down to make work optional, you're going to have to replace a paycheck. And it goes back to that. We're big on math. We're big on the data. It's once we understand what we're shooting for, what's that monthly spendable amount, that's where all the magic happens. And what you can do is when you sit down with a planner and say, here's where you're headed. Either you're going to say, I like the direction I'm going in. I'm liking where I think I'm going to end up. And if you don't like that, either have to make changes on as far as how much you're saving, how much you're making, how long you're going to work, or you've got to adjust what your expectations are of once you do reach an age where you can potentially leave, you know, paid work and mostly be job optional. So those are a lot of different factors, but again, it's what is your objective, and that's going to determine what your plan is.
Yeah, and I will say this, a lot of people feel like they're behind the eight ball, and then they never really even go sit down with an advisor to find out. And so you constantly feel like you are, but what if you're not? I mean, so many people go in to see an advisor and say, oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to retire, or I'll never be able to retire. And they go through the analysis process and they work through it. And they find out that they're in better shape than they thought they were. Now, at 52, you may not fully be ready to retire, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're on a better path than maybe you thought you were. But how do you know if you don't go find out, right?
So exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, it's like, what if there, you know, was something that, you know, you thought to be true but wasn't true, when do you want to find out? Mm-hmm. Well, I want to find out now.
Yeah, exactly. Sooner the better. Yeah, more time.
The sooner the better.
Yeah. Another question for boomers, and then we'll keep this moving here. For Xers, is should we pay off the mortgage before retiring? You know, you mentioned Ramsey earlier, obviously big proponent of that. But to me, this has got to be a math question first, Scott. And then you could factor in the tummy rule, right? If you just wanted to be able to get that thing done before you got to retirement age. But let's take a look at the math, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you said it best. I can spreadsheet this out and show you the data. And then we have to compare that to you laying your pillow on your head at night. And how do you feel about it? Because I can prove to you, you know, one way or the other, as far as does it make sense? Also a lot of factors, you know, if you locked in a 2.65 30-year fixed rate mortgage, I don't know if I'm getting in a hurry to pay that off. But if you are 5 years out from retirement and you've got, you know, 4 years left on your, or excuse me, about 7 years left on your mortgage, it frees up your cash flow and you're just going to feel better about having extra money. Like you said, the tummy rule, there's the emotional side and there's the logical side. And we talk about both of them, but we start with the logic portion and then we work into see how emotional of a thing is this. And that's how we make the decision.
Yeah, exactly. You got to have the data before you do make the emotional decisions, because then how do you know you're making the best one, right? So you got to have that right information to do that. We got just a couple more to go here, and then we'll wrap up the podcast for this week. But let's talk a little bit about millennials. According to this data right now, it's 1977 to 1995. And so my kid's just a couple years out of this, so she's not a millennial. She must be a Gen Zer, which won't make her happy. But anyway, let's talk about millennials at various stages of their careers right now, certainly probably getting into the really good groove, starting to maybe, you know, have that full career or make more money. So a couple of big questions they might suffer from or think about is, and you kind of touched on this earlier, but for us at Xers, saying that Social Security may or may not be there, I think it'll still be there for you and I, Scott. Maybe it'll look a little bit different, but I certainly think it's going to look a lot more different for millennials. And how do you factor that in?
That's one of those where, and I agree, and Social Security is a pretty contentious topic. And we kid around of, you know, what's the primary objective of a politician is to get reelected. And so you kick these things down the road quite a bit.
Yeah, nobody wants to touch that one.
No, but I do think you're going to see, you know, changing of, you know, how they calculate Social Security. You know, a lot of now you can take it at 62 or, you know, wait till 70. You could see that change as far as the time frame. You could see what I think is probably more likely is different ways to means test. You know, like right now they're already doing that. You know, when you're on Medicare, IRMA, it's a additional tax, additional premium on your Part B and Part D of Medicare. So it's your hospitalization, or excuse me, your outpatient and doctor and your prescription drug. And that's based on the prior 2 years modified adjusted gross income. And so think about that. They're looking at your tax return and said, hey, you made X amount of dollars. You're going to pay more money for the exact same services other people are getting, but because you made more money, it's going to cost you more. I think that is a likely avenue for them to change tax law to pull back or claw back, quote, benefits. They don't have to say we've changed Social Security, but they can make it more expensive to get that benefit based on your income. And so I foresee more things like that being instituted, and then probably more in the Gen Z making more modifications to people that probably don't believe they're going to get Social Security or don't know it exists yet. That's where I think they'll probably make policy change to the actual system. But for between now and probably our lifetime, mm-hmm. the IRS and the tax code is going to be the club that wield to raise revenue.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and who knows? I mean, there's so many things they could do that could make things better, or, you know, at least a more workable, but it's the third rail of politics. So they'll wait around to the very last minute before they do anything. So you do have to put the onus on yourself more if you're certainly in this age group to really start planning for your own future. And so that leads to this question, which is, how can I take advantage of the employer sponsored retirement plans to get myself better prepared?
And that's one of those, if you've got a 401k, you know, obviously we talked about earlier the increased catch up provisions, but I would say at least if you're getting some sort of match from your employer, you've got to to distribute or excuse me, or contribute up to the amount where you're getting the match. Cause that's, you know, money on the table that's already calculated into your compensation. And so if you don't take it, then you're leaving that compensation behind. So you've got to participate to get it. But again, if you can look at, you know, the traditional 401k or the Roth piece, you know, to put some money in tax-free, you put it in after tax, but it grows tax-free, it comes out tax-free under current law. For most people, maximizing their employer-sponsored retirement plan is going to be one of the best ways to mm-hmm. get prepared for retirement.
Yep.
Once you've reached that pinnacle of you've maxed that out, then look outside for other alternatives that are out there. But hey, let's say get your debt in check. Make sure you understand your expenses where money is flowing. Max out that employer-sponsored plan. And then look at alternatives outside of that.
Yep. Great stuff for sure. So if you find yourself in that age group, if you are a millennial, these are some things to think about. And really, I just kind of have one question for the Gen Zs to toss out here to you, Scott. I think so many of them, you know, and again, my daughter's in this category as well, and she's got a great job in the Navy. But, you know, I'm dad, right? So when I'm telling her stuff, she's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I got the TSP going, right? So the question becomes often is, you know, do I really need to put that much into retirement now? Because it is so many years away. And it's hard to get them to understand that something that's going to happen 40 years from now, like to get themselves set for that. And they would be so much happier if they listened to us right now. But again, we know how hard that is to get them to pay attention because it is so far. And I understand it because I was there once too. So how do you work on that?
You know, it's just that constant repetition and hopefully they get... you know, get interested in it. But I can tell you the thing that, you know, we're very fortunate mm-hmm. in my practice that the families that we're privileged to serve and the families that are attracted to us, they came to us already being great savers. So they had the number one habit that will lead you to success, which is they saved money. Either they spent less than they made. Well, of course they did that. Or as they increased their income, they increased their savings rate. And so they kept their lifestyle increasing, but not at raise to equal the level of their new compensation. And I tell you, that is the habit if people just start the process of saving early, because it's not timing the market, it's time in the market. Having that time to compound. And if they could just look at the charts that show, hey, if you just saved, you know, a little bit in the beginning, it makes it so much easier because the time that of compounding and money to double over time, it's so much easier when you start when you're younger. Mm-hmm. And I think we do an awful job. Education system, middle school, high school, college. I never had any of that.
Oh, yeah. Our financial education system, terrible. Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. And our society, we don't talk about money. And thankfully, I got into this business in my mid to late 20s. So I started learning these things. It's like, wow, the power of compounding, the power of starting early.
Right.
And so that's what I would tell you. You maybe sound like a broken record, but start early, start small, and increase your contributions over time. That's going to be your biggest safety net that you can have to get you towards a fantastic, exceptional retirement.
So if the question is, should we start even though we're so, you know, so young, the answer is yes.
Right? Absolutely.
In some way. And so let me ask you this one little final follow-up question just to tag on to that. You know, we hear things, Scott, like, you know, we should be putting 10% away to save for retirement. If you're older, if you're, you know, in this age bracket, what do you think? 15? 12, 15, and is that going to be good enough? I mean, it could change through the years, but I would feel like if you can't, you've got to try to push yourself between 10 and 15 if you can do it, especially if you don't have a lot of other life responsibilities, no children yet, things of that nature.
I mean, it definitely would be helpful. Mm-hmm. The more you can save, it's going to be better. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, you know, it depends on what your path is. I was an entrepreneur. And I spent money on my personal education mm-hmm. When I was younger. That money I probably could have saved, but that investment in me and my skills pay dividends over time. But if we're in a, you know, a career path, and the younger generation, they're probably going to jump around to different, you know, a lot of different jobs.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, if you can just get, you know, it's going to be tough, but let's face it. How many people do we know that have brand new iPhones, high-end cable packages, have Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, Prime, you name it.
Right.
There's a lot of money flowing to gigantic companies. That's probably, you're probably better off directing into your pocket and your savings.
Yeah, that's a great point. The more you can do, the better off you'll be. I know if you're early, you know, and again, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're already working with Scott and the team, or, you know, you're closer to retirement, then, you know, hey, share this with the kids or the grandkids, because it never hurts, like Scott said, to repetition, to kind of get it out there, and hearing it from different resources and avenues hopefully kind of helps get the message sunk in. And as always, if you need some help, got some questions, before you take any action, always check with a qualified professional like Scott Dugan, who is the co-founder and managing partner at Elevated Retirement Group. You can find him online at listentoscott.com. That's listentoscott.com. That's a great way to get started and just reach out and start that ball rolling, start that conversation piece, and ask some questions, get some questions answered for the things that you need to do. Scott, thanks for hanging out with me and letting me join the podcast here this week. I always appreciate it, you know, a chance to learn more, and it's good to get different perspectives, and I definitely enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. It was a great experience.
I appreciate your time, folks, and we appreciate your time. So don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you like using, Apple, Spotify. I guess everything's on YouTube now. I don't think they have Google Podcasts anymore. So Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever platform you like. Again, don't forget to check out the podcast and subscribe to it, Your Retirement Elevated, or just find it all at listentoscott.com. We'll see you next time. Actually, Walter will be back, and he'll see you next time right here on the show.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.